Well, good evening, sports fans. It's another episode of Fork Sports Highway, and we have sports all over the place. Lots to cover. My title tonight is NCAA UConn back-to-back. Gamecocks women win. And the women outdraw the men. Masters Day 1 in the golf in Augusta, Georgia. And the juice expires. I don't know. What does that mean? Anybody? Oh, we got the legend Bill Deutsch over here.
Well, obviously I know what that means.
All right. Well, okay. We'll get there. We'll get there. And then we've got the delightful Raven Carlson.
Hello. Hello.
We were missing her last week. She's oftentimes got more important things to do than deal with us.
Oh, hey now.
I think she was sick.
Oh, is that what it was? She was playing hooky on the show. No?
Oh, don't even, you guys.
Do we have a sheet of logos to throw at her or something like that?
Oh, gosh.
I fully expected to come in here and see some kind of horse breed thing and be challenged, but
Dale,
I'm studying up, so you're going to be in trouble. Just hey, guys, did you guys see like that video game show from last week?
Oh, your cock and balls show?
Yeah. We should take a look at that.
What? Oh, why is it hiding in the corner?
Whoa! He's trying to broke. He tried to do that on purpose. I think
he broke it. No, he tried to do it.
No,
it's
got to stand there. It's fine. We're
the Kentucky Derby must be coming pretty soon too. Isn't it?
A couple weeks. It says the first weekend in May. But no, we you know I came in and got to be on the video game show and play the Joe Montana football sports talk football and. The old guy beat the young guy.
Wow.
Well, who's the old guy and who's the young guy?
Well, the young guy is Dale.
Okay.
And the old guy is me. And I think he was kind of stunned, really. Mr. Video Game himself that plays everything like morning, noon, and night. All right, I suppose enough of that. But, well, there, he's putting it back together. But see, my name's on that.
Really?
Yeah. The guy down the hall that does those trophies.
Is that better than winning WrestleMania?
Well, I think it's better than the belt. Over here, see?
Dale. Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway.
Well, we're going to have to talk about WrestleMania, too.
Oh, I know. I was following you guys' conversation a little bit there and trying to see what was going on. But, okay, so... Bill, did you watch the University of Connecticut men's basketball team versus Purdue at all?
No, I didn't.
Too late for you, you said?
It was too late for me. I swear it started at 9 o'clock.
Well, it was late. I don't know exactly what time it started, but I thought it was going to be this great game between those two 7-footers. Let's see. What the heck is his name?
Edney's one.
Klingon is what it looks like for UConn, but I think it's Klingon or something. But 7'2" versus 7'4".
I saw UConn play the semifinals.
Yeah, against Alabama.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and Alabama hung around. They needed to hit every shot, though. The big guy for Connecticut grabbed basically every rebound, but Grant Nelson did posterize him. Did you see the dunk?
Yeah, I saw that.
And he should have been at the free throw line, too, because the big guy followed him on top of it.
Well, he can still play.
Grant's got another year to go if he wants to. Yeah. I don't know, man.
It depends upon where he would go in the draft, I guess.
Well, because if you go in the first round, it's big money. And if you fall into the second round, it's not the same thing. Mm. And especially if you're in the top 10, first 10 picks, then you're going to be getting that big rookie contract.
And Max one.
Max rookie contract, which I think it runs for 3 years, something like that. Raven would never be able to live on that kind of money, though. I think what the heck? Trying to put it on you and I get...
Paul, my camera shut off.
All right, come on.
He's on it.
Yeah, we don't want to miss out on her. But anyway, I was... God, I lost my train of thought with the camera going off. Where was I, Raven?
We were talking Alabama, weren't we?
Oh, yeah, Alabama and whether or not Grant comes back and whether or not Raven could live on a rookie NBA max salary of, I think it ends up
Don't being, you dare even tease
but,
me like
but,
that.
But $3 million a year? $3 to $10 million a year?
I never heard what the amount
You guys
was.
Would probably never see me again. No, just kidding. You would.
I think $1 million, we'd probably never see you again. You'd wave at us as you go by is what you'd do, I think.
Oh, I'd tune in for my yacht.
Yeah, well, your million's going to be gone pretty fast. You buy a yacht.
Nah, I probably won't buy
You'd be like
yacht.
One of those NBA guys.
She'd buy a wind tower.
I'd probably buy a horse, but not that expensive of a horse, and then an RV, and then just, yeah.
Travel around. She'd be going rodeo to rodeo.
Buy a cabin. Yeah.
Like Lainey Wilson, she's got a truck that she lives in, doesn't she?
I'm sure a lot of stars do.
Huh. Well, anyway, so UConn men beat Purdue. It was about what, double-digit, 12, 14-point end-up game.
Who are you cheering for? I guess I was actually cheering for Purdue.
Well, Purdue's never won one, and UConn won, so they went back-to-back. They won last year, too, Raven, so the rich get richer. And then in the women's side of things, the darling of the sports world, Caitlin Clark, came up short against the Gamecocks of South Carolina. What do you think of that?
I thought she won.
Are they Cockettes or?
The Cats?
South Carolina.
Yeah, like you got demons and demonettes.
Oh, well, yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Satan and Satanettes.
Huh. Bill's part of the occult. Were you on Epstein Island by chance? He's kind of leaning that way, I think. No?
So, I had a question. How did Purdue get its name? Because I've always just, that name is so bad.
Purdue.
It sounds
like something
terrible.
Railroad. And I don't know where I got that one, but.
Well, but their nickname is Boilermakers. So that's either something to do with a train, I think, and more often a drink.
Get an updated name.
Well, that'd be something we could probably Google pretty easily.
Well, we got Keith Cummings up there. Keith Cummings is in the house. He says evening, everybody. And BU and Denver are into overtime in the Frozen Four.
Paul, my camera's going off again.
Seriously?
Yep.
What did you do to it?
It's your fault. The trophy fell on it.
Katie unplugged it. Katie. So anyway, Caitlin Clark, Iowa team, fell short to the Gamecocks in the championship game. Although, you know, Iowa and Caitlin Clark upset the Gamecocks last year in the semifinals to get to the final to lose to LSU.
But didn't they have a completely different team this year, the Gamecocks?
I thought I heard that. They did. They had a completely different squad, and they were expected to win it all last year and didn't because they got upset by 4 points, I believe, was what Iowa beat them by. But,
and one of their better players, she's from, like, Argentina or somewhere?
Yeah, the big girl in the middle. Right. Like 6'7", Raven. Six foot seven center. So Caitlin Clark wasn't going to the basket. She was blocking shots.
And then one of the girls on UConn, too, she was from, like, Bulgaria or somewhere?
You know, Bill, the stuff that catches your eye. I mean.
Well, they said she's kind of going to be the star when Paige leaves.
Oh, yeah. Well.
And being that she's from overseas, it's.
Well, and what did you think of the moving pick call then in the semifinal against UConn?
I thought it definitely was a moving screen.
Oh, absolutely. Stevie Wonder could have called that one. He really, I mean.
But how often do you ever see it called?
No, you don't. And that was the big uproar was like, you can make that call in the first quarter, and you can make that call in the second quarter, and you can make that call in the third quarter, but you can't make that call with 13 seconds left. So UConn and Iowa in the semifinal. Iowa's got a 1-point lead, 13 seconds left in the game. UConn's got the ball.
Okay.
And they call an offensive foul on this moving pick. So Iowa gets the ball back and scores and wins by three.
Jeez.
The UConn doesn't even get the chance to get a shot up. But
I guarantee you people actually got shot over that. Like, people that are betting lost like $100,000. I guarantee you someone died over it.
Yeah, the point spread.
Yeah, someone died over that, which is so like. Yeah, someone died over it, 100%.
I'm sure somebody put some bad comments on Twitter, too.
Oh, there was lots. There was lots. And oh, yeah, LeBron James was the first one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
here we go.
Bogus call. You can't do that in that point of the game. And I'm, you know, I'm a purist. If it was, if it was a foul in the first minute, it's a foul in the final minute.
You know, that's crazy, actually, that LeBron James actually said that. Because if it was men's basketball and it was his men's team, it would have been a foul. It would have not been that call. Because he's so goddamn entitled. Seriously. Jesus.
Our favorite, the anti-LeBron James show.
Well, seriously, if that was his team and he was playing, I guarantee you the refs would have just looked at each other and just been like, okay, yeah, never mind. Guaranteed. Well,
I think the thing was it was such an obvious offensive moving screen that the referee just, I mean, automatically, habitually responded and made the call without even thinking about what the point of the game was, which is what they should do, Bill, was what they should do. But it is certainly one of those calls. Just like when like UND hockey goes into overtime and the opponents are mugging each other, everything that was a penalty before isn't a penalty now. It just gets to go on and on and on. It turns into more of a bloodbath than a hockey game. And so I don't know, you know. And they seem to do that in all sports, that don't let the referees decide it. But, boy, in more recent years, whether it's a flag in the end zone at the end of a game or like this play, the referees are actually deciding games, but they're actually deciding them by the rule book.
The more you
That's actually really nice to hear.
The more you saw that replay, though.
Oh, I know.
The worse it stuck out.
Oh, I know.
I mean, she definitely moved her knee, and
she stepped out, was moving as she was sending the pick, and then lowered the little boom there, you know.
And
was this a carrying call? Like, what is this?
No,
she was like a foot taller than the other girl too.
Yeah, the center for UConn. So a big girl is setting a pick on a smaller player
At
the top of the key. So right out in where everybody could see it.
Mm-hmm.
And she steps out, and in live time, it's bad. It's boom, boom. You know, she's still moving. She's supposed to be set solitary, not moving at all. Mm-hmm. She's moving, but she also drops the shoulder and a little bit of elbow and gives her the little shudder.
Sticks basketball?
Yeah.
And sticks the knee out, too.
Yeah.
Okay,
gives her a little shudder, and then it's, you know, and it moves her. Her head flops back and it moves her out.
Okay.
Go ahead. We still ain't got a camera on her.
So, so you're telling me that the reps actually called it.
Correct.
So.
With 13 seconds.
Correctly. Left. I am actually so happy about that. I don't care how many seconds are left. Like, if someone's actually throwing elbows, yeah, give the other team the ball.
No, it was good. It was a good call, and that's what I said. I said it was so obvious Stevie Wonder could have called it. And
yeah.
Oh, he's blind, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I don't know. I that, but then, you know, the bigger girls at South Carolina ended up putting down Iowa anyway. So Iowa ends up losing the championship game 2 years in a row, Raven. That's not a fun feeling. But
so can she be the GOAT now if she hasn't won a championship?
Well, I don't know. I'm more disturbed by the fact that, like, Diana Taurasi, I don't know, you guys know who Diana Taurasi is? She's a Hall of Fame WNBA player who's still playing. And she's one of the top scorers that's ever played. Played basketball, and I think she plays for the Phoenix Mercury. I think they're called.
Okay.
but she's been commenting, and she had to make a remark about Caitlin Clark is going to get a wake-up call when she gets to the WNBA because...
Yeah, in her pocketbook.
There are women here that have been playing for decades, and like this little girl isn't going to just come in and take over. And I'm thinking, why are you saying that? This girl just brought more attention to women's basketball than has been brought on it in decades. There's more attention to women's basketball right now because of Caitlin Clark.
Because of jealousy. This is women's basketball. Okay. It's self-explanatory. Yes, there is women that made a whole career out of basketball. Decades. Yes. Okay. But now you have a new girl coming in, and it's making all of those women feel threatened. And that's what it is.
Well, the WNBA is a little more political, too, than...
And the ability... Well, there we go.
I think that sounds like Superstonic.
We're getting there. We're getting there.
As soon as we get the phone. Don't hang up, Steve.
Is he there?
The dog's there.
Hey, hello.
The dog's there.
Supersonic, yeah, Steve!
I'm here.
So am I.
I'm ready to go.
There we go. There we go. Well, we've been sitting here round-tabling the NCAA basketball. And right now I had just kind of transitioned it over to the remarks that Diana Taurasi had said about Caitlin Clark and coming to the NBA and playing against mature women that have been playing for decades, and that she's like, she's not going to come in and just take over. And Raven was explaining to us that that's kind of a female jealousy thing.
Yep. Well, the thing is I don't even think Caitlin Clark even made a statement that's provoking something.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. She's been the girl next door, the All-American hero, basically.
Yeah.
For two years.
And
I mean, you'd never heard of her before that.
No, but she also brought more attention to women's basketball than has ever been on it before. They outdrew the men viewership. You see that, Supersonic?
And ticket sales.
I did. And you know what? I think that gal is going to do just fine in the WNBA.
I do too. I think all the talk coming out of those pro players' mouths is going to come back to bite them. I think that girl is going to continue to shoot just like she does.
Why would she change her game?
No, and we already saw what a great passer she is. Those court length passes are not easy to put on pinpoint play.
No.
And hers were always right there. It was her passing is as great as her shooting.
I agree. And you know what? Not only that, she can rebound. I don't know what she got in that game, but she got a bunch of rebounds.
Well, and she doesn't turn the ball over. They can't take it away from her.
Although I will say she did not have a good game.
No, for her it was subpar. But, I mean, you can't be Superwoman all the time. It happens. Just like with Alabama men against UConn, the effort was there. But the execution wasn't. And
right. You're not, I agree.
You know, some nights you don't make the shots. And I'd say that's what happened to Caitlin Clark and her supporting cast.
It wasn't her night, you know, but she doesn't have to prove herself.
Well,
she's the best.
Well, and they had the freshman for South Carolina that hit like five threes, you know, so you get a factor like that in the game. Somebody else for Iowa besides Caitlin Clark has to have five threes to match that.
Exactly, and they didn't get that.
No, they didn't.
I don't think the girls that surrounded Caitlin Clark were as good as the girls from South Carolina.
Well,
absolutely.
They certainly weren't as big.
Their size was the difference.
Well, when you start with a girl in the middle at 6'7", and then you got a couple of 6'4", 6'5", besides that, they were long and tall and...
They're good.
Well,
they were good.
And those girls from Iowa gave an effort. Like I said, they gave the effort, and they had shots. If they would hit, you know, you got to hit all the shots then too.
No, it was definitely entertaining.
So we spent most of what we've done so far talking about that. Masters Golf kicked off today. You see any of that stuff?
Yeah.
I watched.
I'm watching her right now.
I bet you are. I bet you are. You know,
is Tiger playing? Or?
Oh yeah, he's he was. Last I saw, he was Denver beat BU in hockey. Hey, Denver Pioneers are in the NCAA Frozen Four final. What? Yes, indeed.
You said that. You brought that up last time.
Yeah, NCHC. We got one team in there, and there they are, still alive. Thank you, Keith, for that update.
Speaking of the golf,
Dad. Got an ad we got to do?
Yeah.
All right, we better get to this ad.
Maybe we should go to Albatross.
Yeah, that makes sense. We'll do the ad.
Winter in the Northland means no golf, right? Wrong. Looking to get in around golf in a climate-controlled winter oasis? Want to just whack some balls at the virtual driving range and work on your swing? Check out Albatross Indoor Golf Club in Grand Forks with more than 90 courses, range venues, and games including Pebble Beach, St. Andrews, TPC Sawgrass, and more, all on an incredibly accurate optical-based simulators from driving to putting. Play straight up, team up for a scramble, play tournaments, or join the two-person scramble league. It's fun for everyone, and all ages are welcome, too. Call or text 701-757-3220 to set up a tee time. Check out Albatross Indoor Golf Club in the Columbia Mall, your home for the best indoor golf experience around.
All right, that was golf. So we got into the Masters, and you were asking about Tiger is actually playing. When I left the house, he had just finished the ninth hole, and he was one under. The leader is 7 under, and then there's a second guy at 6 under, and then they're all piled up after that.
He finished a 1 under.
No, he's not finished. He's at 13.
Oh, is he? Okay.
That's kind of surprising, though. Like, how the hell is Tiger still playing? Isn't he like 70?
Well, that makes me, Bill, and Steve 115.
No. Why does he look 30 years older than what he is then? Is it all the cheating?
I don't know. He hasn't been right ever since his wife smashed the windows out of his vehicle and he crashed into the tree. And then, it was another bad accident after that, going down the freeway on like on pain meds or something and crashed into like a tree or something.
I think the waitress from Hooters was driving that time.
Well,
wow. He must have tipped
I try to tiptoe along the gutter, and Bill always just drags me right in.
Hey, the gutter's fun. Get in the gutter.
Okay.
Hey, I've been there a number of times, trust me.
At Hooters?
I was born there.
Okay, the gutter. Okay, so Tiger was in a bad car accident, though, while he was on pain meds or something. Got to a point where I thought they almost had to amputate his leg.
Correct. Like, that's true.
He had his knee surgeries and whatnot weren't taking. And so for him to actually be back out there, and, they don't get to use golf carts. You actually walk the course.
Wait, Tiger Woods walks?
Everybody does.
What?
You don't have a choice.
In the PGA, everybody walks.
You have to walk. And
these guys are, like, worth a lot of money. Well, and they're making them walk?
They have a caddy.
Well, they got a caddy that's carrying their clubs and stuff.
But
they still have to walk the course. And that's quite a few miles during the day, really.
Oh, and that caddy helps them read the putts and stuff, too.
Well, yeah, they're trained golfers. They're great golfers themselves, most caddies.
And telling them how far he is away from the hole.
Yeah, just like Caddyshack.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Don't look at me. All I know from golf is from Billy Madison. Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore. Yeah, that too. But to watch Tiger walk, though, and they don't, because they're bouncing from hole to hole to hole with all these players playing, but to actually see him walk just little distances, you can see his hips and his legs aren't aligned. It's not a normal gait.
He's went through a lot of surgeries and, the wear and tear and all the years of him swinging that club. I mean, I'm sure it's got to be killing his body.
Well, Bill's got something going on over there. I can see it in his eyes.
I'm just saying, I got to talk a little bit about WrestleMania when you talk about bodies coming out from the dead and can't even walk right, and oh man, we need Dale here tonight for sure.
Well, you can. All right, so the Masters is going on. It's day one. We're into that. Good. The UConn men win. The Gamecock women win. Women outdraw the men. Masters day one again. But the big sports story of the day is the juice expires.
Yeah, poor guy.
Oh, good God.
Well, come on now. He was acquitted. Don't we, you know, that, and that's what I see on all the sports shows all day long. Have been no love, man. They're just black. Everybody's, all they talk about is that murder. Now, what I remember most about.
Wasn't it something about the glove didn't fit, though? Or?
Well, all day long we've been seeing, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit, right?
Get out of here. You know he's guilty as shit.
Oh, come on now. I'm
in your court, man.
The thing is that the Marsha Clark and the Christopher Darden and the Mark Furman, the police officer that never used the N-word, only we brought up a tape recording of him saying it like 130 times. Anytime, and my history as doing jury trials is that anytime a police officer tells a mistruth one way or the other, you get to take all of what he brings in and dismiss it, basically. You know, why would we believe anything he says now when he didn't tell us the truth here on this little thing? And that tainted that case big time.
It's like that on Judge Judy too.
Well, yeah, but so
do
Mark,
you realize Judge Judy
still going on
is the highest paid sitting judge in American history. Do you realize that, or whatever country she's in?
Well, because she's a TV star.
No, she is actually a sitting judge. She is still, I don't know if she's still, whatever, on the bar, whatever lingo.
And she's had plastic surgery now, too, which kind of...
Oh, of course she did. Of course she did. Well, but I'm just... that is astounding to me. Like, so there are judges in New York that are making less than judges. That's baffling. It's baffling. Like, you see all these crime shows like Law and Order and CSI and all these big courtrooms and everything and, like, actual trial. Hell, OJ's trial. Judge Judy is getting paid more than the judge that judged on OJ's trial.
Well,
that's astounding. Is that not astounding?
Christopher Darden and Marsha Clark and Mark Furman, even the cop with the N-word, all are cable TV analysts now, making more money than they ever made in their legal careers. Those folks all got rich off the OJ trial, those prosecutors. Huh. And they did a shitty job. They lost the case to probably the greatest legal team that was ever assembled. I mean, you had Robert Kardashian, so the father to the girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could lie about a whole mess of shit.
You had F. Lee Bailey, who at the time was one of the most renowned attorneys in the history of America. And then, of course, Johnny Cochran and his sidekick, Carl Douglas. And then there was a Shapiro guy, Robert Shapiro. And then there was one more fellow that was like a forensic expert.
Was that Matlock?
Might as well have been. I mean, but they did have. Was
that Perry Mason?
I would leave the office Sherlock every day Holmes. And go home and watch the case live on TV daily, all day long, and follow it. And I was always one, because I watched the trial and how the evidence was presented and how the testimony was presented. I definitely thought he had a shot at getting acquitted, and sure as shit, he did. Of course, they brought him back in for the civil suit and $33 million jury verdict against him.
He still owes that for some reason.
Well,
though.
Yeah, but OJ got a $25,000 a month pension from the NFL. Can you live on $25,000 a month, Raven, you think?
Oh, good God.
Okay. So $25,000, after he was making much, much more before, you know, the Hertz. We all remember him running through the airport, jumping over the seats in the airport.
So that's only $300,000 a year.
Yeah, right. But he got that as his pension, and he moved to Florida because in California they can attach your pension to a civil judgment. So he moved to Florida, where you can't do that, and lived basically happily ever after till he died today.
Well, I thought he was living up by Detroit Lakes playing golf at some...
Yeah, because he had a girlfriend from up here.
Oh, okay.
So like from Moorhead.
Yeah, and he'd golf.
That actually doesn't surprise me. There's a lot of undesirables around that area.
Detroit Lakes.
Well, no. Well, yeah, that too, actually.
Well, I did have some information though, that, and I don't know that, and I'm not going to her name, but she was actually from Moorhead. OJ dated her, but she also ended up. I don't know. She was like a housekeeper and ended up like stealing some money or something and getting convicted herself. So
undesirable. How did I call that? How? How like, did yeah, I call? How?
Premonition, intuition, woman's intuition, I guess. But so anyway, yeah, but the juice, we got to, so see, we jump right into the murder and the trial because that's all he's ever going to be remembered for. And I'm pissed off because in 1994, I was watching the New York Knicks play the Houston Rockets in the NBA Finals, and my game got preempted and they pushed.
Because of that?
The Bronco, the chase. Yeah. So the TV followed the chase and they put the basketball game down really small in the corner. So you couldn't even see it. This is the NBA Finals. So
are we going to see the funeral on TV then too with the same type?
God, no. I hope so. No, I hope so.
He's had enough damn TV time.
Is he going to be in the white Bronco and there's going to be all these hearses and cop cars chasing him?
It's going to be like a mafia funeral.
I swear to God, I will throw something at the TV if I see that funeral and there are cheerleaders. I swear to God.
Oh, no, that would be even better. Cheerleaders? So Buffalo Bills, come on, send your squad.
Oh my God. Seriously.
Okay, so we have to be remiss though, he was one hell of a football player. He won the 1968 Heisman Trophy at USC when the USC was grinding out Heisman Trophy winners one right after another. He was the first man to rush for 2,000 yards in the NFL and still the only one to do it in a 14-game season. Everybody else has done it in 16, whether it's Adrian Peterson, I think Eric Dickerson. I think the guy that beat up the woman in the elevator for the Baltimore Ravens actually Gurley had 2,000 yards.
Too, I think Gurley did, I think, too.
Yeah. What is it with these guys and just – they're the undesirable ones. Like, honestly, like, it's half of them are going bankrupt, and then the half of them that don't go bankrupt are just waving guns around and beating women. What is going on? Seriously, what is going on with the professional, like, any sport, NFL? Well, NFL is a little better, but not by much. I don't know. Yeah, NBA?
They all have issues, but way beyond the field or the court. So Bill, so that was my stuff. OJ expires, the juice expires. I was a kid, man. The guy was a hero when I was a little kid, and you know I try to put back in perspective watching him play. The final day of the season one year when him and Chuck Foreman were running back and forth scoring touchdowns for the touchdown title. Chuck Foreman ended up with the touchdown title that year, but they were playing each other, and it was one of those games I'll never forget watching on TV. And you know, I was telling Bill about, you know, that Buffalo Bills team in the early 70s, that quarterback was a guy named Joe Ferguson, and they had Bobby Moore, who became Ahmad Rashad, Joe DeLamelier, Reggie McKenzie, and there was another running back on that team, too, that – it surprises me Bill doesn't know who that is because he knows.
Yeah, I don't remember that for sure. I just remember actually O.J. Simpson played the University of Minnesota at Minnesota. Like one of the first games, and that would have been probably 1968. Probably would have been his Heisman Trophy year, but he did play the Gophers.
He rushed for 500 yards or something?
I don't know. The Gophers weren't very good back
then. No, that's why I say that.
I was probably just getting into high school at about that time. Well, and everybody was talking about the juice on the loose.
Yeah, the juice on the loose.
Well, he's a Tacoma kid. He's from our area.
Well, didn't he not end up like growing up like in Oakland or something?
He grew up here in Tacoma.
And, well,
Tacoma.
Tacoma.
I'm talking about Ahmad Rashad.
Oh, Ahmad Bobby Rashad. Malone. Yeah.
He's Coma kid. No. Not OJ.
No, OJ was in Oakland.
California kid.
What's his actual name? I know OJ stands for something.
Orenthal James.
Orenthal James Simpson.
Okay, I see why he goes by OJ.
You think? Yeah. But you know, he was like as one of those guys that transitioned from the I would say the black community to be like this respect. Well, he was doing Monday Night Football and the 33 and a half, what were the gun, what is that, Naked Gun movies? You ever seen those?
I haven't actually.
Well, and he was
you should be watching those.
Those there's three of them, I think. But he was typecast as this bumbling idiot cop.
And I can see it.
And he hated that. He was trying to be a serious actor, and only roles he could get were those.
Or else running through the airport.
Well, but his commercials, his commercial success, that hurts Rent-A-Cars.
Yeah.
Him running through the airports, jumping over the chairs. You know, those were iconic. But once you get charged with murdering your ex-wife, those kind of all dry up really fast. Okay. So
well, they should.
Well, that's, and so it's kind of a sad chapter in the history of our country, really, that the whole OJ saga, from the rags to riches to jail to back out and to this obscure life in Florida golfing on golf courses. And I guess he should have got rid of the gloves and the knife a lot better than he did.
Well, didn't he live in Vegas or something for a while too?
Yeah. Well, so
probably
so,
lived everywhere.
Yeah, but that's the irony of the whole thing is that he went to jail. He had memorabilia, jerseys and whatnot, that were stolen from his residence, and this outfit, these guys were in this motel in Vegas, had his memorabilia, and he and another guy broke into the room waving a gun around and retrieved his memorabilia, and OJ was charged with an aggravated assault crime.
This is what I'm talking about. If they're not bankrupt, they're waving a gun. Well, and if they're not waving a gun, they're beating a woman.
And he was convicted of that, and he actually did about 8 years in Nevada in prison. And many of us, like myself, think that he actually was sentenced to such a steep penalty in Nevada as retribution for getting away with the murders in California. It's funny how the system works that way sometimes.
He was a great athlete, though.
But like I say, it's a sad, it's a tragedy because he's got adult children, and that was their mother. You know,
yeah.
It's not like there's other people that aren't harmed in this besides them, and then the Goldman family that I'm sure they're celebrating. I bet they're having champagne tonight. Anybody want to put money on it? I don't know. That's probably as pretty dark, kind of
late.
Yeah. Well, but you know, he killed his son. So okay, WrestleMania. I know Keith is dying to talk WrestleMania, and I know Bill's got some WrestleMania because you and Dale were like in that stuff. Is it in the notes? You got some of that?
Well, I think there's some stuff on here.
All
I know is that. It ended up, I didn't know it was, you know, I didn't realize that, you know, they fought for like 6 or 7 different titles. You know, they got international title, they got a heavyweight title, they got this, they got this, and they got this. So, you know, the first match out there was, you know, it was a title match. And I thought, well, God, why would they be putting this match first? I mean, I think Supersonic knows more about wrestling than I do.
Oh yeah, I'm skookamonic.
Really?
But
did you watch this stuff?
I'm looking at this guy that. Okay, so the final match is Seth Rollins. No.
Well,
do you know who the final match was?
I don't.
Uncle Steve.
Seth Rollins.
It was Seth Rollins, and it was against what was Dusty Rhodes, his kid.
Drew.
Cody Rhodes.
Cody Rhodes.
Cody, okay. Yeah. There you go.
So Cody Rhodes is lucky to be hitting like 200 pounds. You know, dripping wet. And this other guy that he was fighting had to be 280 or 290.
Oh, good.
So I don't know how they physically can even wrestle each other.
But Cody Rhodes won. Nope.
Yeah, the guy that was 200 pounds.
Totally scripted. I mean, come on. Oh, wait, really?
What did he say?
He took, Paul said it's totally scripted.
Oh.
I'm like, no, you know what? Every time Scrap Iron Gudaski lost to Vern Gagne, yeah, it wasn't scripted. It was legit. No.
And how about all those ones where Vern Gagne was in the nursing home, too? Were those ones scripted? Well, that, where he killed that one guy?
Oh, that one maybe wasn't scripted, Bill, but you probably could have scripted the drop kick, though, because that was his move.
So then in the end of this, the last match, you got, okay, so The Rock was hobbling around in there. So he had been in there on, it was two nights. So it was Saturday night and Sunday night.
Oh, they broke it up into 2 days.
So The Rock and somebody fought somebody else. And so then on Sunday night.
So like The Rock, the actor?
Yeah. And he's got a really bad knee. I mean, it kind of went out at one time where he basically flopped because his knee's in such bad shape. So he ends up coming out in the championship match, too, where Cody Rhodes was trying to win the championship. So he shows up. And then the Undertaker, okay, and he hasn't been in a wrestling ring in 10 years.
Who? This other guy?
The Rock.
The Rock.
And then this other guy was the Undertaker, and you must remember who the Undertaker is.
Oh, yes.
You play his music, and everybody knows he's there, and then all of a sudden they turned the lights back on or something like that, and he was right there. In living color.
Well, who's he wrestling?
Well, he was just getting involved in this match because he didn't want that guy to win.
Oh, so the one between the Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes.
Right.
And Cody Rhodes ends up winning it, getting the belt.
Right.
But then there's some altercation after the match, something going on, like post-interview or something. I don't know. That's what I thought I saw. Maybe Keith knows. That there was still some. Well, you know how it used to go.
I mean, with Dale could talk about this for the next hour.
Oh no, and he'd be smiling, and the smile on his face would be ear to ear as he talked about it, because he like beams like the sun.
And he's thinking for sure that WrestleMania is going to be in Minneapolis next year.
Oh man, right. I don't know.
And they had this outside. In Philadelphia, and it was like about 40 degrees out.
I don't know.
All right.
So there's no camera on me, but
I did actually watch this because Dale
made you
twisted your arm for some reason. They put out a documentary on Cody Rhodes before this, so I already figured that he was going to be the one to take the WrestleMania championship.
Oh, he had leanings.
Yeah. But now they kicked Vince McMahon out. And
yeah, because
brought his daughter in.
I don't know anything about
Vince,
all that.
Vince McMahon got accused of a whole bunch of like sexual assault
He apparently got in some deep water.
And he refuted the early stuff, but it just kept coming and coming, so he just bailed.
Yeah, he had some really bad text messages.
Yeah, he did. He bailed. It was like when Favre was a quarterback for the Jets.
So now the evidence was that bad. Is the CEO or whatever?
From what I understand, what Dale said is he's like the chief
Well, it's a CEO of some sort.
Kind of, yeah, he's the...
What, Vince McMahon was?
Well, Vince McMahon
owned the whole thing.
No, he's the one that gets to decide, like, who wins and who loses.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what it is. But the Cody Rhodes thing, and I did, like, I watched it at the end.
But, I mean, does he look like about half the size of this other guy?
And
who, Cody Rhodes?
Was, yeah, that he was.
Oh, wrestling. Yeah, it was so, I mean, everything was so staged. It was pathetic.
Well, but now, what I'm having going through my head is Cody Rhodes, so Dusty Rhodes' son or grandson? Because
his son.
This is a much younger grandson.
Grandson. He had a son that wrestled before this.
Right. No. Cody Rhodes, I'm pretty sure, is Dusty Rhodes' son. Yeah.
Right, but then there was another one above him, his dad.
Oh, son.
Yeah.
His grandpa wrestled, too.
Well, Dusty Rhodes' grandpa.
Right.
But the thing is that...
So
no, Dusty Rhodes' dad.
Yeah, Dusty Rhodes' dad.
Where are you at, Dale? Dale is going to be so pissed that he missed this.
Keith Cummings is up here telling us that Cody is Dusty Rhodes' son. But Dusty's been like deceased for quite some time.
Cody Rhodes is Dusty Rhodes' son.
Dustin Rhodes is Cody's older brother. That's the guy I was thinking of. So I know Dusty Rhodes had another son that wrestled that I used to see. I never heard of Cody until today.
Yeah, because now he's the American Nightmare, and he was some like weird star child or something before that.
He was the American Dream before Cody Rhodes was.
Yeah, well,
was that what it was?
Or Dustin Rhodes? Which
Dale, where are you?
Well, I'm from an era when it was Dusty Rhodes and his partner Dirty Dick Murdoch. You remember him, Supersonic? Dirty Dick Murdoch?
I do, but I got to interrupt everybody.
Uh-oh.
I have to leave. I've got a bunch of shit going on that I have to take care of, and I will be more than happy to talk about it next Thursday.
Well, we'll be on those stories anyway. We know this is kind of an ad lib thing. You never know what we're going to be talking about. Paul's trying to get us over to the transgender sports in the college side.
Well, that you count me out.
No, actually, I'm not because
I'm kidding.
I actually watched WrestleMania because of Dale.
I'll be talking to you soon.
Yeah, Raven, send him out.
Just so you know, I really enjoy this shit. I do. It's great stuff.
There you go.
You take care.
Bye.
We'll be good.
Yeah, no, the reason I jumped in on this is because I actually ended up watching the end of WrestleMania. Dale got me into it. And
Saturday night or Sunday night?
No, the Cody Rhodes one.
Okay. Well, there were two nights of it, though.
So
okay.
I was going to watch Shogun, and then I decided, you know what?
Shogun, like the miniseries?
Yeah. Okay. And so I decided, you know what? Dale said WrestleMania is going tonight, so yeah. I decided to check into it, see what was going on, and I saw the documentary about Cody Rhodes, and so I already figured that. You know, he was going to be the one that's going to take WrestleMania, especially after watching all the
hype.
The shenanigans that were going on with you know, special appearances from The Rock, and then you had Cena, and you had all these guys, and it was like clearly this guy is going to win.
We got Keith
just Cummings. Like Jake Paul when he beats Tyson.
Wasn't that fight off? Isn't Tyson suing him now?
No, they got all kinds of rules.
Jake Paul was fighting that night too at this.
No, Jake Paul was fighting Tyson. Now they got all kinds of rules. Like they got to wear headgear. They got
to. Yeah, Jake Paul has to wear headgear, but it's going to be really difficult when he gets on the bus than he already is.
Well. So if you want to keep talking WrestleMania, Keith said he'll call in if you want to talk some more of that stuff. He did refresh my memory, though, up there. He says the Texas Outlaws. That was Dusty Rhodes and Dirty Dick Murdoch, the Texas Outlaws. Yeah.
I don't even know why I'm here.
So I don't know. Don't
knock that trophy over again.
Right here. The video game champion of the world right here. The Cock and Balls trophy. Yeah, nice. Fits, I think. I don't know. You know, is there more WrestleMania stuff, or do we have any other things to talk about? I know.
We can't do it justice.
WrestleMania.
Right.
Oh, I know. I can't.
We need Keith fighting it off with Dale.
Oh, yeah, I suppose. What about you, Raven? Did you watch WrestleMania?
I did not.
I felt I lost at least 10 hours of my weekend to that.
Paul, we should do the Churchill Shoes ad, though.
Sure.
Is that the one 50% off?
Yes, it is. $50 off every pair of shoes at Churchill Shoes.
Churchill Shoes is saying goodbye. After over 75 years of catering to all of our footwear needs, Chuck says it's time to retire, and that means unbelievable savings for you. From now until the store closes at the end of May, stop in for the most incredible sale ever at Churchill Shoes. Huge store-wide savings on both men's and women's shoes. Your feet will never be happier than when they're wearing Sash shoes. You'll love them. But hurry, when the store inventory is gone, it's gone for good. 75 years is a long time, and May isn't that far away. Stop and save now at the going out of business sale at Churchill Shoes in the Grand Cities Mall from now until the end of May. And Chuck says thank you to all of his great customers throughout the years. We'll miss you, Chuck. Stop into Churchill Shoes in the Grand Cities Mall.
Say, Monty,
$50 off every pair of shoes.
All right.
No? Is that what it is?
Yeah. It's unbelievable, but that's what Paul says.
$50 off every pair of shoes. Raven, what do they have over there?
I have not been over there yet.
Shoes. I thought it was all about Sass.
The Sass dealer?
Yeah.
I like a Sass dealer.
Something like that. I thought you did. I don't know. You know, I was, because I like old history, sports history, and it's been NCAA going on. 1974 NCAA men's basketball tournament built. So we're talking 50 years ago. 50 years ago. You were probably in college at the time.
Was that Lou Alcindor? Was it UCLA versus Houston?
Well, it was Houston. No, it wasn't that one.
That was a couple of years older. Right?
Yeah, a little bit older, yeah. 1974, though. And
was that Magic Johnson and
no, that's
Larry Bird?
1980. Oh,
okay.
No, in 1974, and it's triggered. My memory was triggered about this because earlier today, Supersonic Steve sent me a picture of Maurice Lucas and Daryl Dawkins in the 1977 NBA Finals, one of the big fight. But in 1974, Maurice Lucas was at Marquette. In 1974, the North Carolina State Wolfpack beat the Marquette Warriors 76-64 for the national title game. But everybody thinks that the national title game was UCLA and NC State in the semifinal. UCLA had won 7 straight national championships going into 1974. They were the number one team in the tournament. They got beat 80-77. In double overtime by North Carolina State, Skywalker, David Thompson. UCLA had Bill Walton, Scott Meyer, Andre McCarter, Mike Warren, I think, Ralph Drollinger. About half the team went to the NBA. But they'd won 7 straight titles. And then they lost in 74. And then in 75, John Wooden retired, but they sent him out on top, his 10th national championship, the Richard Washington, Marcus Johnson teams. So 50 years ago, UCLA was expected to win an eighth straight NCAA title, and they got beat by NC State. But Marquette played North Carolina State in the championship game in 1974. And the Al McGuire was a New York guy. He was the coach at Marquette's in Milwaukee.
Okay.
He brought all these players from New York out to Milwaukee to play. All these guys, his recruits were these inner city kids. And they were a nasty, mean, hard-fighting bunch of guys. Maurice Lucas, there were like three or four technical fouls in that championship game. And the referees took Marquette out with those technical fouls. It was a close game overall. Marquette did end up winning the national title in 1977. Al McGuire retired just like John Wooden did. So they sent him out on top, and then he became a broadcaster. Was one of the flashiest ones, but alas, he died of cancer like many of those guys do. But no, 1974 men's NCAA basketball tournament, UCLA and NC State, Skywalker Thompson, a point guard named Monty Tau, a 7'4" center named Burleson, played for Seattle for a while in the NBA. Marquette had, boy, off of that squad, probably five or six players that played in the NBA. Over the course of time, you know, not great careers, but they were there. So that's one of the notes I had was 50 years ago today, or this time of year.
I think the Incredible Warrior, remember him?
The Ultimate Warrior?
The Ultimate Warrior. I think he was fighting Billy Red Cloud that night, and so I think I might have watched that instead.
Billy Red Cloud, huh? Boy.
You remember him, don't you?
Yeah, well, he must have came back out of the grave, I think, because he's probably that old.
Maybe it was George Kadaski.
Scrap Iron George Kadaski.
Or Kenny J.
What was never a better wrestling name than Scrap Iron Kadaski.
My Lord, that's quite the name.
He was like the designated loser.
Oh, no.
Match after match after match. He always gave this really great match. And then would lose right at the end.
Did you see all the people in the stands?
Oh, hey, wrestling. Professional wrestling slays me. I used to take my son down to the Fargo Dome to the NWO, the New World Order, and the Wolf Pack, and those guys back in the day. Sodbuster Kenny J, he says up here, Keith Cummings. You're as old as we are, Keith. Raven, you got to talk because I'm going to choke over.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What
do you want to talk about?
I want to talk
about. The Yankees? The Yankees?
No, that's you.
Oh.
No, we don't want to talk.
LeBron James?
We don't want to talk Yankees. We're getting Carl Anthony Towns back.
Well, yippee-yay for that.
I don't know. We're a whole month away from the start of racing season. That's nice.
Oh, yeah. Dale would like that plug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got that.
The Minnesota Wild are down the tubes.
Yeah, they're out of it. Let's see. I was pulling up the baseball standings real quick here.
They're fine. What is the NAIA?
NAIA.
That's
National Bill's. Some type. It's like the NCAA for like UND smaller plays schools. In. But NAIA is just a different organization that caters to certain schools.
Okay, because apparently they ban all transgender athletes.
Well,
which is
I guess
awesome. It's about damn time.
Have you ever seen a transgender person ever in an event before?
No, because the leadership has gotten so damn weak that anything flies. Like, the stupidity is at an all-time high. I am honestly baffled. Oh, my gosh, we got a visitor.
Sandra D.
Yes.
Transgender sports.
It's absolutely absurd.
Have you ever seen anybody compete in any event or even on TV?
No. No, because this is a brand new thing that they're trying to do.
So I want to jump in here and tell you, because we need to give credit where credit is due, that
Okay.
Yeah, don't worry about it. The only reason that all of this is even getting squashed is because of Riley Gaines.
Yeah.
Like, we to give credit to Riley Gaines.
Well, Riley Gaines was the top women's swimmer in the country. Yep. So she lost all these meets to this guy.
Yeah, she is the one that put the kibosh on all this Riley bullshit. Gaines?
Yeah. Have you ever seen a highlight of her?
I did see. I think a meet she was actually in with this guy.
And it's not even about the meet. Like, okay, she tied a dude in a swim meet, okay? And then they gave the dude the trophy because they wanted the photo op. She tied him, okay? So that in itself is an accomplishment. But the reason that this whole thing is such an important, like, factor is because when she got done, she was forced to undress in front of him while he had his junk sitting there in the locker room. And they gave no warning whatsoever that he was going to be in the women's locker room with him. That is beyond absurd.
Well,
you know, I mean, could you imagine you just got done playing, you know, a basketball tournament or whatever it is.
So three truck drivers walk into the women's locker room and decide they're going to shower there, basically.
Do you actually want to know my opinion? Or do you want me to be quiet?
Okay.
Well, no, you might as well.
Really quickly, let me finish this too, because then they said that they changed the rules to make it, okay, it's a unisex locker room. Okay, so now any guy can walk in there and start changing with the women. This is what Riley Gaines pointed out and just hammered home on everybody about this issue.
Well, she's been in front of Congress multiple times.
Yeah, it's absolutely asinine what she had to go through. You talk about women's rights, women's sports, everything. And that's why they squashed this because people are starting to realize like how absolutely ridiculous this whole transgender thing is.
Well, like I said, I don't understand why if there's so many people of that nature, then why don't they have their own swim teams and competitions, or their own basketball leagues, or their own baseball leagues, or
What? Okay, there's a reason why this kind of stuff happens where it happens. I don't know where the swim meet was, but it wasn't in North Dakota, and it wasn't in Minnesota. Yeah. Because if someone tried to do that here,
yeah,
ouch.
No, I know
they will get killed.
Well,
you
could go from the Canadian border through North Dakota all the way down to the tip of Texas. It wouldn't happen in any of that area. It'd be those coasts that are so
where Supersonic is.
Well, he'll tell you, but those coasts that are so much smarter than we are. And are so concerned about saving the planet and doing everything that's right, making sure we're eating like soybean meat and that kind of thing. Out here, we don't listen to that. We really don't.
No, there's a reason why it doesn't happen here, and that's because they will get killed. Literally.
There's a gun behind every blade of grass.
Well, the thing is you would have a whole laundry list of people in a line, like in a uniform line, just ready to go to jail for that cause. Seriously. Because if the woman herself that's in that situation didn't kill him, I guarantee you her boyfriend would. And if her boyfriend wouldn't, her husband would. And if her husband wouldn't, because she's not in a relationship. Her dad would. Her brother would. Yeah. Okay. And honestly, I have met mothers that would. Like, they're like, well, there's no, there's none of that here. This is a myth. That's how it's a myth. It is.
Well, and that's bonkers. That's a great point. Is like, so the alphabet soup conglomerate, the numbers down the whole middle of the country don't equate to the numbers on the coasts as far as how many people are of that ilk or that persuasion. And so we're supposed to believe that out here in God's country, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, that there's that many, that the numbers are the same. Bullshit. Complete bullshit.
Well, that's how you know it's taught. That's how you know that it's learned
behavior. It's learned behavior.
Exactly. It's not like they're trying to pay, they're trying to say, like, oh, I'm actually a man trapped in a woman's body. No, you didn't even know what that was until someone told you. You didn't even know.
Well, all I know is, I wouldn't want a guy going in my daughter's locker room.
Yeah, you'd kill him, okay? There's a reason why that doesn't happen.
Well, we have the 1981 MVP of the Mattock Bobcats women girls basketball team.
Sorry, I went off on a rant. That's okay.
Hi.
She likes to do this ad that I like to slough off on you all the time. But
she does it better anyway.
We don't have a camera over here so on her on that spot, so you got to come over here and do it.
Oh.
If you want to hear yourself. Here.
If you want to be seen.
Yeah, if you want to be seen on our soon-to-be-banned show because we're so alphabet soup.
Said that? Honestly, we might have this show taken down. This might be the one.
That's a goal, though. That's all. That's, we could just shoot for it.
Oh, goodness.
Am I doing this one? Okay, here we go.
Right in your mouth, basically.
Here I am. Oh, I don't have my glasses on today.
Oh, shit. Oh, no.
Can't read for shit.
I can read a little bit. Okay, here's our advertisement.
She's hot on the camera.
How do I look?
Right.
Okay. River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill. Make the River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill your next dinner and a movie destination in the River Mall in East Grand Forks. Either dine inside the movie memorabilia-packed restaurant, the Shire, or take your meal to the movie you're attending. Some of this week's features attraction are Civil War, Monkey Man.
That'd be me.
That'd be you. Godzilla, Ghostbusters, and Kung Fu Panda 4, and Dune Part 2.
Dunes.
Yes. Find the complete showtimes online at rivercinema15.com. Don't forget about the Tuesday $5 movie special all day long and the $5.50 senior matinee special on Wednesdays and Thursdays. Bill, you and I could go to that.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. The River Cinema has luxury recliners and expanded concessions that now serve adult beverages and is family-owned and operated. So make sure you make your next outing at River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill. And we've been to that bar and grill. It has excellent food and excellent drinks as well.
Did you watch any of the NCAA basketball, Sandy?
Yes, I did.
Any names stick out to you?
NCAA.
NCAA, okay.
Caitlin.
Clark.
Clark sticks out for me. Oh, Grant Nielsen sticks out.
Why?
Because he's from our hometown. Well, our hometown, his dad is from our hometown. He's from Devil's Lake, but his dad is from Mattock, North Dakota.
Was his dad a great basketball player?
Well, he didn't play much basketball back in the day. But he's got an amazing son and other sons and daughters that are very athletic. Yeah. Okay.
And you saw him on TV, too.
He got some camera time on
national TV.
You mean Nels did.
Yeah.
But what about Grant and that grand slam he did?
Oh, the
dunk.
He posterized the center from UConn.
It was amazing. And then when he won against, who was it?
North Carolina.
North Carolina, he was amazing. 24 points.
Yeah, a couple weeks before.
12 rebounds, five blocks. I watched some TV. I watched some.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, should we wrap it up here?
You know, no, we're not there yet. Just
it's 8 o'clock. Is it? Oh, it's 5:02. We're a little early. Yeah. I better let Monty
and
get
we started a little late.
Control stand here. Yeah. Take it away.
Raven was missing.
Don't even.
Take it away, Monty.
Oh.
Bill's getting tired. We got to close it down.
Bill. Bill wants to talk about wrestling some more.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. You know, something that we didn't actually talk about yet.
What do you got?
Is apparently the hockey portal's open again.
Yes, it is.
And Reese Gaber's going away, and I'm not okay with that.
Well, he signed pro, though, didn't he?
Yeah. Oh, wait, did he graduate?
Yeah. Yeah, he went pro.
I don't know if he's graduated.
Well, he went pro,
though.
But
I think he still had a year of eligibility left because of the transfer portal.
Yeah, right, but he did sign a pro contract.
And there were a couple guys that we did sign to also. Yeah. A goalie from somewhere.
Well, we needed to.
Yeah.
Because he's going to have to sign a whole new defensive core again and a goalie.
Well, I don't think they're all leaving, though.
Well, I suppose not.
But we did lose the little Blakester guy, too.
Oh, he's gone now? I heard the rumors that he was going to be gone. I was hoping not.
Well, you'd think his dad would talk to him and say, well, your career's only going to last this long, so you might want to hang out at Walsh Hall for another year.
That was the one cool thing, you know, as a nasty customer as Jason Blake was when he was down around here, he stuck around for his junior and senior years. They won the national championship in his sophomore year, and they were like the top team in the country those 2 years, 98 and 99. They got stung out in Denver one time, 1-0, to not get to the four, and they had a good enough team for sure. But he was like 25 years old when he left here. He and in that 97 team, and I forget which one was which, but David Hoogsteen and Jason Blake, one was 25 and the other one was 26 years old.
And he lasted in the NHL for
Jason Blake had about a 15-year career, and he did sign a big contract up in Toronto, so... He made his millions. And
this Jackson Blake is not the most physical person.
Jackson Blake is way more of a finesse player than Jason was. Jason could play finesse, but he was more of a nasty customer, an irritant. Mm-hmm. If I had to categorize him as I would say, like, I played basketball with a guy named Jason Hogenson, who was nothing but an irritant. A really good player, but he just hurt. He looked for contact. He looked to be the guy that they picked on. He would be the guy, the antagonist. Jason Blake, one time I saw him literally. We were in the front row in the old Ralph playing the Gophers. He scored a goal, and when he went back to the bench, the Gophers bench was first. Mm-hmm. He stuck his elbow out, and he clipped like four or five of their players in the box as he went by.
I remember that.
You know? And then the holy hell, you know, the guys are piling out on the ice, and he was that kind of guy, just an instigator. But he had great players around him too. That 97 bunch through 2000. Well, Lee Gorin, didn't we were out here New Year's Eve? Another guy that ended up playing in the NHL for the Boston Bruins. But they from 97 to 2001, Bill, that squad could have won every one of those national championships. They won two of the 5 or 6 years, but they were good enough that they could have won all those. I don't know. That's my opinion anyway. I followed that team pretty religiously. Raven?
Yes?
You like hockey.
I do.
Are you happy that Denver beat...
one of the Boston schools.
I think BU.
Yeah.
I honestly don't really follow any hockey unless it's like UND. Like UND is the only hockey I even bother with.
How about Red River?
Not really.
Only when Central guys are in here?
Yep.
There you go.
That was funny.
Need to come back, by the way.
I saw that wrestling coach the other day out at Home of Economy.
Yeah? Yeah, I saw that.
Did you go out there?
No, Dale was doing an interview, and he He caught him.
Yeah, I went out and got a burger and a hot dog.
Do you know that we're like 2 weeks into the 2 to 3 weeks into the Major League Baseball season? Oh, does anybody know who the best team in baseball is right now?
I wonder.
I think we have to leave. I think we have to leave, don't we?
Oh, no.
Wait. Oh, there it is.
I think it's 8 o'clock.
There it is.
Millions is cutting us off. I can see it.
The Yankees sit at 10-3.
What do you got against the Yankees, Bill? Or you just got something against Monty?
Well, he's got something about what you said. What do you got against Sweden, Bill? That was you.
Yeah, I remember that.
You like,
what you got
do
against
you like
Sweden?
The
of course I don't mind them.
Oh,
so the Yankees sitting at 10-3 with the best record in baseball. The only other team with 10 wins is the Dodgers, but they have 5 losses, so they don't have the best record in baseball. So you're talking about probably the two most storied franchises in the MLB. In the Los Angeles Dodgers and the New York Yankees. The only thing I like about the Yankees more than the Dodgers and those teams is the Yankees stayed in New York. You know, the Dodgers used to be the Brooklyn Dodgers, Bill.
Oh, they...
Yeah.
Is that right? Well, Willie Mays go with them?
No, Willie Mays played for the New York Giants.
Oh, and he went to San Francisco.
So, yeah. So both the Giants and the Dodgers moved out of New York and went out to the West Coast to be Hollywood stars and all that kind of thing. But the Los Angeles Dodgers and the San Francisco Giants, back in the day when it was the boys of summer and it was the grandest time in baseball history, all three of those teams played in New York City. And you want to talk about rivalries. Duke Schneider as the center fielder for the Dodgers, Willie Mays as a center fielder for the Giants, and Mickey Mantle as a center fielder for the Yankees. What a grand time in U.S. history.
Oh, I wish I would have been there.
You're older than I am. And Raven, everything I just talked about, every last thing I just talked about, I wasn't born yet.
What?
That's all stuff I learned, read about. I didn't.
I knew the Yankees were around for a long time. I just didn't realize how long. I guess. Oh,
but the Brooklyn Dodgers and the 1909, the Yankees.
I like how we just knew that off the top of his head. 1909.
Oh, that's...
He grew up reading baseball cards.
Yeah, I did. And those teams, so the Brooklyn Dodgers, the New York Giants, and the Yankees of the 50s, the 1940s and 50s, that's all stuff I just read as a kid and learned about. So, yeah, everything I just talked about happened before I was born.
That's, wow. Who did Lou Gehrig play for?
Yankees. Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Joe DiMaggio.
So,
was Sandy going to talk about Pretty Woman for us?
Oh,
if you want to, Chester Fritz. Quickly, okay. You always got to put in a plug. You know, come because there's no camera over there. Come over here.
I'll just stand here.
No, you're not going to just stand.
I look wonderful over you like this.
Okay.
I know this isn't sports, but it's...
Deb and I went to Pretty Woman last night. It was amazing. It was the musical at the Chester Fritz.
That's University of North Dakota.
Yay.
Bill's alma mater.
Yeah. And it was amazing. The music was wonderful.
Julia Roberts there?
She was.
Not.
But the girl that played Julia looked like Julia.
Really?
And Edward, which is played usually by Richard Gere, he had an amazing voice. It was wonderful.
Never heard of Richard Gere.
Yeah. We also had a drink at Casper's before we went. Can I put Casper's in there or not?
Well, you just did.
Okay. Bill's favorite bar. Sorry. I didn't know you couldn't do that.
That was good. We got something in there about that.
The Pretty Woman?
Well, yeah.
Anytime you do productions at the Chester Fritz, they're usually pretty well
That's
done.
That's just a one-night deal, isn't it?
Well, and it's also I think it's a Broadway play.
It is a Broadway play.
Yeah, and so it's a traveling Broadway play. So I'll be damned. We have a little bit of culture out here in the middle of nowhere, North Dakota. What do you think about that? Besides not having transgender athletes in our women's locker rooms.
Okay, let's not go there.
Yeah, we've had enough transgender.
Well,
okay.
Yeah, we'll shoot first, ask questions later. How's that? You want to wrap this thing up, Paul?
Yep, let's do it.
All right.
Well, Sandy can read that deal for you.
No, I got to do this. She's already taken over enough here. infringing on my livelihood.
Oh.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Okay. Thank you for tuning in to tonight's Fork Sports Highway. Catch us live every Thursday night at 6:30 right here on Grand Forks Best Source, live on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, and now partnering on millions. Find our past shows by searching GFBS on your favorite podcast or social media apps. That's all for today. We'll see you next week.